Blog Talk Radio.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious. We are
thank you. holy name. Worthy to be praised. None like you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lord God Almighty. None like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, your ever presence with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, blessed be your holy name. We're going to be careful to give you all praise, all honor, all glory. We glorify you. The fruit of our lips and the lifestyle, the kingdom culture lifestyle, that we will live a life that will glorify you. Hallelujah. That we will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This is our King Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Every way in our prayer. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My. I want to welcome everyone here. This is Kingdom Advance Radio Ministry. And I'm glad you all here. I am the host and speaker, Ambassador Odelia Jackson, and the Holy Spirit is always the teacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I have some notes here, but does the Spirit want to go somewhere else? We have to roll with the Spirit. Amen. So I just want to be thankful that all of y'all are here. Whether you're on devices, if you are, the call-in number would be 760-283-0834, 760-283-0834. At the end of the teaching, you open up the line so people can share what they have received or ask questions or add to. Amen, because we are... Scripture talks about iron sharpening iron, and this is how we learn one from another. It's like we pray one for another, and we're supposed to love one another. We also encourage and strengthen one another by sharing what the Spirit has laid in our hearts. Amen? Amen, amen. So I'm so glad to hear you got your pen, your paper, and your constitution, which is the Bible. And I hope you're ready to hear what God has to say. Tonight we've been talking about... This is part two of the dynamics of prayer and how to respond to a global crisis. And so we started out with the function of intercessory prayer. That's one of the dynamics. It's intercessory, corporate, and worship. And we talked a lot about the intercessory prayer last week. Amen. Part of it is, for those who need to catch up with us, it's good to hear this again so that we don't forget that God has given the human race great dignity by giving us free will. Now, I was going over his notes again. I said, God has given us a great dignity. My. And the more I think about how God has given us great dignity by giving us free will to choose. And he really gave us the will to choose him, to choose his will, his way. Willingly choose the will of the Father. Amen. But he gives us that free will to even choose not, because he don't want robots. Amen. So I just want to share a little bit. Then I'm going to open up with a prayer. I just want to go over a few things that we've already done. And then we're going to break open with a prayer. So this free will he's given us, it means we have been given the ability to make real choices. Think about other things that have been created that has no ability to make choices. You know, flowers, they don't have ability to make choices. They just do what God created them to do. Okay, animals, they don't have no ability. They just do what God created them. Birds fly, fish swim, trees grow, you know, and, you know, it's, they have no ability, but we have the ability, to make real choices that have both what? The temporal and eternal consequences. Because whether you know some things or not, the sixth law of gravity, if you are on top of a building, you jump off, what is up? What goes up must come down, right? And so here's the sixth law, my. And so whether you know some things or not, the consequence is already the sixth law there. And so some of us are going to learn the hard way because we're not being taught. While the nobility of choices can be glorious, now when you have the knowledge, and the understanding, which only comes when you apply the wisdom, the knowledge that you have, you exercise, you have the free will to exercise in righteousness, okay? So it can also be perilous if we sway by sin and rebellion. A failure to soberly recognize the response, the word of God necessitates will result in a life of squandered opportunity. And many of us have some squandered opportunities. I even look at my own life. There were some squandered opportunities in my life. And so how true that is. So the wisdom of lifestyle of is a lifestyle of obedience. And we took notes on that last week, that wisdom is a lifestyle of obedience to the precepts of Scripture will be dramatic impact in our lives in this age. And it will be forever rewarded in the age to come. Those are very important. So one of the wisest choices that we can make in this life is to pray. And the reason why is because God had already designed it that men would have communion with God. You know, that's what prayer is, communion with God, acknowledging him in all your ways, that he may direct your path. That prayer is also the most important activity humanity can be doing. And that's communion with God. That he would order your steps. We sing that song, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me, show me the way. You know, and I don't know the rest of the song, but I know that much. And we've sing them songs, but do we know what we're singing? And if you know what you're singing, are we applying what we're asking God to do? He said, I'm showing you the way to go in my word. In my word, I'm leading you, I'm guiding you. But are you following? Are you acknowledging me in all your ways that I might direct your path? My. Amen. Anyway, Lord. So the choices we make in life, the wisest choice is to pray. Prayer can be expressed in many various edifying forms, like ranging from quiet devotional meditation to corporate intercessory prayer. Let me put my glasses on. Intercessory prayer for revival, and so that's what we mostly focused on last week, was intercessory prayer. And we're going to open up in the scriptures in a minute, so you can turn to them now. Romans 8:34. And so I can share with what the Lord wants us to hear again and understand. And in Psalms 2, it reveals an astonishing facet of the relationship between the Father and the Son, bestowing a significant to prayer that we scarcely fathom in verse 8, in Psalm 2, verse 8. God the Father says to Jesus the Son, ask me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Peering into the mystery of the Godhead, we see that man, Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, operating his government through intercession. You'll see Jesus operating his government through intercession. That is a role that Jesus has played for us, not played, but demonstrated for us, so that we would know how to operate in the earth. And that's through intercession. He's governed, he operated his government through intercession. Hallelujah. See, he came with the government on his shoulder, and you'll see that in Isaiah, what was it, 9 verses 6 and 7, he came with the government on his shoulder. And when he was in the earth, he operated government through intercession. My. Look at that, Isaiah 9, I said, yeah, Isaiah 9. Look at that. And then I'm going to pray. Isaiah 9. If you look at Isaiah 9, then I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'll get too far into this. Isaiah 9. So Jesus operates his government through intercession prayer, intercession or, you know, prayer. I'll find Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, I believe. Look at that. Let's read that. And it says, here we go. And it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. So he operated his government through intercession, and we see that his days on earth ever and advance in seclusion to pray. Mark 1:36, you might want to write that down so you can check it later. Luke 5:16, and Jesus chose his disciples after a night in prayer. And in hours leading up to his crucifixion, he cried out to God on behalf of his disciples in John 17. Jesus' role in prayer stretched far beyond the bounds of his first coming. He sit at the right hand of God, ever live to make intercession. And that's what we talked about last week. We focused on the intercessor part last week. So let me pray, and then we'll open, read a few scriptures here. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this this opportunity to be taught by your Spirit, to learn more. I pray that everyone here is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that you may fill each and every one of us, and that as we come into your presence, that we would receive it, your engrafted word, which is able to save the soul and guide our life, and show us areas that you want us to work in, how you want us to do the strategies and the witty inventions and ideas that you give us. And so we pray, Lord, that we would get a greater hunger, even for to change the way we thinking about prayer and understand this prayer that you have chosen, this design for us to commune with you and connect. It is through prayer that we connect with you, Father. And so I pray that we would see prayer in a different way, that we would our thinking would change in the way we think about prayer, that we would think about prayer the way you think about prayer, the way you want us to think about prayer, and to not only think about it, but to do it. And so we thank you that through prayer, it gives you access into the earth to intervene in the affairs of mankind. And we thank you, Lord. I just thank you so much. And I pray that others would grasp this and catch this like fire in their bones, and that they just can't get enough of spending time with you, Lord. And so I pray that for all of us. So have your way, Lord God. That is one of my prayers, and that the people of God, that we will see that it's through prayer that those things that you only going to release through prayer when your people act in prayer. So I pray that the people of God, that we learn that we have to come and ask God in prayer and spend that time, the intimate time with you in prayer through your word and prayer and fasting and all the things that are connected, that connects us to you, Lord. So have your way tonight, Lord. I decree and declare that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds and that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that we would cast it down, and that we would subject our minds to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Lord. Give us 20/20 vision as we look into your word, and give us ears that hear, that we have clear transmission, and that we hear properly what thus said the Spirit of God. So I pray over our ears and our eyes tonight. We thank you. Decree and declare that they are clear, and that we see 2020 vision and spiritual realm. Have your way, Lord, as we learn and be trained by your Spirit the things that you would have us to know and apply to our lives, that your will be done in the earth, in us, and through us, that we would be right smack dead in the middle of the will of the Father. So have your mighty way, Lord God. We want to please you. We want to do your will. We want to do it the way you want us to do it, Lord God. So teach us how, and show us, and we pray your will be done in all of these things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thy will be done. Amen. All right, now let's finish this. Last week we were talking about the intercession, and I did say go to Romans 8. Let's go there. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 34. We went over this verse last week. You just need to hit it again so that we can all this can come together. Romans 8, verse 34, and here we go. We were talking about how Jesus' role in prayer stretched far beyond the bounds of his first coming. He sits at the right hand of God and ever lives to make intercession for us now. And that's what 34, thankfully, it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So intercession is always for others. So as you make an intercession for others, God, you see that? Jesus is in heaven on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. My. Glory to God. Mm. And then Hebrews 7, let's go there. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7, let's turn here, and we're going to read 7, verse 25. Thank you, Lord. And it says, wherefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he has ever lived to make intercession for them. Mighty, mighty, mighty. So, and you see in John 17 how he prayed, I forget which verse it is, but he prayed for those who will believe the words that we speak. And those words we will speak will only be the, should be only the words as an ambassador, is the ministry of reconciliation, the words of reconciliation. And so as ambassadors, we only speak what our government speaks. Amen? And so those words that we will be speaking, and those who believe it, Jesus is praying for them. Amen? So he left some work for us to do. Amen? So that's how far beyond the bounds of his first coming. Amen? So when he returns and rules the earth from Zion, his government will function as a house of prayer. Now remember we shared earlier that he operates his government from what? What we share? He operates his government through intercession. And intercession is prayer. Interceding for others. And so when he returns from when he returns and rule the earth from Zion, his government will function as a house of prayer. And that's for all nations. Isaiah 56, turn in. Isaiah 56. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 56, verse 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Verse 7. Isaiah 56, verse 7. And it says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. My. So there's only, our only glimpse into the majestic truth woven through scripture that prayer is the primary mode God has chosen for Jesus to release the Father's power and usher in his everlasting kingdom. And you will see that he's done the same thing for us. What we see, Jesus says, greater work shall they do. Greater work than this. In John 14, I think it's verse 12. Greater work than this. And you see what Jesus did while he was on earth. So we, as his bride, when we pray and enter into a partnership with him, the eternal intercessor, that's what we are, the eternal intercessor, as Christ sought friends to watch him in the Garden of Gethsemane, forever he invites his people, that's us, into the intimacy of an authority of prayer, authority of prayer. You have authority to pray. Did you know that? So he invites us, this invitation that he's given us, not only through prayer, he invites us to fast too. It's an invitation, really is an invitation to another realm with him. My. And some things we won't even get to experience until You have this intimacy with him in prayer and this intimacy with fasting. My. And so our decision to embrace this invitation or to neglect, it has a profound ramification. Regardless of what people or demons do, God will accomplish the main event of the plan he has determined for the future, such as Jesus' second coming. He reigned over the whole earth as king. Satan being cast into the lake of fire, he's reigning when his second coming, he reigns over the whole earth. Why? Because the kingdom of darkness will be cast into the lake of fire. My. And so, however, he gives us a dynamic role through our response to him. Okay? The only way it's going to happen is through our response. And so if you never respond to him through prayer and fasting, then you will never experience any of this. So it's in prayer and fasting. Our response is in prayer. This is how you respond to him. In prayer, fasting, and obedience. And determining what? Some of the qualities of life we experience in the natural and in the spiritual. Now, this reminds me of some people who do not seek the kingdom like God tells us to do. In his word, we say, order our steps in your word, dear Lord. Show us, lead us, and guide us. Show me the way. You know that song? But the world says, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And people are not doing that, so they don't get to experience the kingdom. Because you got to come seeking as a child with a childlike faith, like that being teachable, or poor in spirit is teachable, humble, and come like you know, you need to know everything you need to know or everything you need to get from God as far as spiritual, not that temporal stuff, so that God can give it to you. He says, "You, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." My. And so, the choices that we make, that, you know, our response to him through prayer and fasting. So if you never do those things, prayer, fasting, and obedience, they all go together. It determines some of the quality of life we experience in the natural and in the spiritual. My. So he opens doors of blessings and closed doors of oppression in response to our prayer. So somebody that's oppressed, who don't pray, who don't fast, who don't obey the word of God, they won't experience doors being closed to oppression. They will just be a person that's full of oppression, and, you know, and depression, and all those things that they could be rid of, you know, if they would seek the Lord, like he says, prayer, fasting, and you reading his word, obedience, and then these things you can know how to combat, counteract, okay, destroy, dethrone, and destroy this work of darkness in your life. My. And so there are blessings God will only release as his people. So if you don't pray and you don't seek God in prayer, you know, some people don't believe in that. Okay? Well, you never will experience anything, okay? Except for hell on earth, as people say. Okay? So ask for them, and he says he will only release. There are blessings God will only release as his people. They ain't say he's going to release some blessings, but there's some blessings that he's only going to release as the people ask for them in the intimate partnership of prayer. Make sure you write that note down, because you got to be an intimate partnership of prayer. Don't be going around asking for stuff just because you're in trouble. Are you in an intimate partnership with prayer with God daily? My. And so, Psalms 2, turn to that, Psalms 2:8, you'll see where God, the Father, was talking to his son, Jesus, now, who do we think we are is he telling his son to ask him. So there's some things that we must ask him too. So, and I hope you're getting this from this lesson here. The Psalm 2:8. Let's read that. It says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." Now, God the Father is talking to God the Son. Okay? "And the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." So God is telling him to ask. Now, some things God never going to release to us until we ask for it. My. Think about it. It's right there in the Word. And look at verse 7. It says, "I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Now verse 8. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance." So he's not going to get it until he asks. "And the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." My. Come on now. It ain't going to drop on you. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So you got to remember, there's some demons, demonic oppression, that only leave as a result of prayer and fasting. So think about people who don't do anything. They're going to be harassed by demons. So Isaiah, he taught that he longs to release his grace and power. God longs to. And I think I said this last time, that Deuteronomy 16, verse 9, I believe it's 16, he says, the scripture talks about his eyes run to and fro upon this earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are walking upright. My. He's waiting. Some things we got to ask, okay? So Isaiah taught that, but actually, he waits until he hears. God is waiting until he hears the cries of his people in intercession. Come on now. The cries of his people in intercession. Me and Camilla, I don't know if anybody else was online last night when we were praying on the counteract, dethrone, and destroy the works of darkness. I was sharing with what God had laid on my heart, because I did put a note for others that were invited to, bring something to the intercessory time of prayer that God has laid on your heart that we can take to the throne and ask God, okay? And ask God to intervene. Amen? And he said some things we're not going to get unless we ask. He's waiting until he hears the cries of his people in intercession. The Lord longs to be gracious to you and me, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on us. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. So when he hears it, he will answer you. That's in Isaiah 30:18. Let's look at that. I want you to see that for yourself. Are we already in Isaiah? Isaiah 30:18. Listen what God is saying to us. I guess God wants us to hear this, because he won't let me go any further right now until we get this part right here, because this is really important. And it's important to understand, because without understanding, we don't want our prayers to be ineffective. We want to be doing stuff for nothing, okay? this was a verse, Isaiah 30, verse 18, and it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him." My. So he's waiting to show grace towards us. Look at Second Chronicles, let me see, 16:19, I believe. 16:9, I believe. Let me go from here. Yes, 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Write these down if you can. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. My. Some translators say upright, walking upright. My. Towards him. Okay? And that's part A. And then look at part B. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That's them, those who don't want to seek the Lord. Those who don't want to obey, pray, or seek him in fasting and prayer. And therefore, you will be in war. You will be harassed by the demons. You will be tormented by the demons. My. Yes. They demons. Yes. I hear somebody, demon, I ain't got no demons. Yes, you do. If you don't want to pray and seek the Lord, yes, they hide in our personalities. That's why you got to do some self-deliverance. You know? They hide from you. They're good at that. And so, therefore, that's why we got to do self-examination. So, we can do some eliminating of things that in our life that is not of God. Okay? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I got to see where I'm at because Spirit take you somewhere. Okay? So, all manners of prayer is important, but the highest expression of authority the redeemed can enjoy is found in corporate intercession. The highest, that's a note right there, because that's where we're going at next. We're talking about the corporate. The highest expression of authority the redeemed can enjoy is found in corporate intercessory worship. Okay? When we're doing the will of God, and living our lives according to the kingdom culture, then we are worshiping God with our life. My. When you're doing the will of the Father, that's a worship unto God. So it's important to understand each of these the components that we've been talking about. Intercessor, we just talked about that. Now we're going to talk about corporate. It requires the corporate there and then, you know, under corporate, because now you're going to really talk about the corporate part of. We talked about the intercession. Now we're going to talk about a little bit about the corporate. It requires humility to embrace all that is implied in gathering corporately. It requires humility to embrace all that implies in gathering corporately. Different in worship, prayer styles, doctrinal emphasis, and other personalities make humility necessary. Amen? And that is so true, because when I think about all the different broadcasts on the kingdom teaching ministries, each one has a different style that God doesn't take from you. But, you know, all we're supposed to be doing is the will of God. And God is a God of variety. Amen? And so each one has their different style of how they present the ministry, ministry of reconciliation with the words of reconciliation, which is all belong to God. Amen? And so humility is necessary. Amen? So if we are to gather together in a regular way, you hear that? In a regular way. So the meekness this engenders in our hearts. Do you notice that humble and meekness are the attitude, the beatitude that we ought to be having. You notice that? I noticed that just now. That the humility is necessary, and the meekness this engenders in our hearts fosters an atmosphere conducive to the activity of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's a note to the note. Even if you don't understand that, that'll give you some time to chew on that one. I'm going to say it again. The meekness this engenders in our heart fosters an atmosphere conducive to the activity of the Holy Spirit. My. Thank you, Lord. So the book of Acts again and again depicts the apostolic company of believers as united together in prayer, conjunctions with great relief of the power of the Holy Spirit. My. Let's look at Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 14. Let's go to 14. Acts 1, verse 14. Write the verse down and let's go through it. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. Acts 1, verse 14. Let's go there together. And it says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Now go to, you see how they, on one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, Mary, mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And verse and Acts 2, go to Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. My. Go to Acts 4. Write these scriptures down. Talking about the meekness this engenders in our hearts, fostering an atmosphere conducive to the activity of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 24 of Acts. And it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, okay? Amen? And so they heard, let me look at 23. And always when you study in the Bible, and we might go to one verse, we can't do them all, always look at the verses before the verse that was given out and the verse after, so you stay in context. And so, and being let go, they went into their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, verse 24, that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is. And the verse after says, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? My. So God is waiting for us to cry out to him about certain things that's going on amongst us. Amen? See, some things is going to happen already because it's written in the Bible already. It's already written. Okay? He said it's going to be rumors of wars and you know, people's hearts are going to wax cold and, you know, all the things that he said is going to happen is in the Word of God. Okay, but we can ask questions. We can pray and ask God to give us a strategy how to go around some of the stuff that's going to happen anyway. Okay, there's some things like last night when me and Sister Camille, we were praying and I was sharing about some of the stuff that's going on in the school, this curriculum they got, this identity gender curriculum that's coming out. That's in Virginia now. Some of that stuff is already in Philadelphia because they got little books in the kindergarten with the same-sex parents, two men and two women, and they got little books trying to plant stuff into their minds at this young age when they should be learning how to count, read, and write and know the alphabet. Okay, not that mess. And then you know, my thing is, Lord, give us a school where we can teach our children the kingdom culture, not the worldly culture. So that's what that is, the worldly system that they're trying to plant into our children. And so those things are things we cry out to God about, you know, because when their seeds are planted, you know, you don't know how they're going to, you know how they're going to turn out, because we see what's happening in this world today anyway. But we need them to be the seed of the kingdom culture to be planted in our children. My. Yes, Lord. And so, let's go to Acts 5 verse 12, and it says, let's read that together. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. My. So it's when you come together as corporate, you ought to have the same mind. You ought to be have the same what you call concerns, not worrying, but concerns that we ought to bring to the Lord and cry out to the Lord for wisdom and strategies and things together as a corporate. Things that's going around us when we cry out to the Lord that he would intervene in the affairs of mankind. I'm telling you, do you believe God can do it? I mean, really, we got to come together. We need to repent for the thoughts that we have towards prayer and corporate prayer. Because when you come to corporate prayer, you ain't come to tell your business. We come here to intercede for others. And man, we about our Father's business. That's what we come together for, corporate prayer. We're about our Father's business. We ain't come here to see who's going to tell what's going on in their household. We ain't come for that. We come to intercede for others. My. Come on. So, there are many scriptures that communicate this truth as well. For example, David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." My. How good. In Psalms 133. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says. Psalm 133. It's probably saying exactly what I'm just saying right now. But I want you to see it yourself. And so it's important that we see in the Word of God, and so you don't think I'm making this up. Here you go. So that we be on one accord, you know, thinking the same way. When I say 133, verse number one, and it says, "A song of degrees of David, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment." Verse 3. "And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Hallelujah. Yes. So unity is something that we should have as kingly intercessors, king priests. We should have a unity, not just individual stuff. That's a religious system stuff. So there are all these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication, as we read already in Acts 1, verse 14, is another example. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. So the Father only releases his to his family. We can go only as far in God in our individual dedication. Okay? There is a sealing in the spirit until we come together. That's a note to the note. So when the intercessory prayer is called, you know, as many as they can make it, because I know certain times some people got to be to work, got to do all kinds of stuff. There is a sealing in the spirit until we come together. It takes a corporate, unified response over a period of time to reach the highest level of God's intended blessings over a city or a nation. I'll say that again. There is a ceiling, see, because we can only go so far in God in our individual dedication. That's number one. You only can go but so far. Now, you want to be the individual, then there is a ceiling in the spirit until we can come together to take a corporate, unified response over a period of time to reach the highest level of God's intended blessing over a city or a nation. Now, my mind. And so, the nation is the nation of people that God had intended from the beginning, his original intent from the beginning. So, all those Jesus already paid for, prayed for, is that nation, okay? And as we come together and be repairs of the breach, it's that city that's repraying for. Come on now. You got to go in deeper through the spirit. Now, we see what the scripture says, but he's talking about those who believe on him, those who converted as kingdom citizens. Those are the ones he's talking about. Amen? So, also, the fire in our hearts can die out. This is talking about when we become individuals. The fire in our hearts, this is another good reason, can die out when we are alone. That's so true, no doubt about it. We are strengthened by clustering together. That's a note. The fire in our hearts die when we are alone, and we are strengthened by clustering together with people of similar passion. My. That's a very good note right there. So when you start learning the truth about how we are supposed to come together, it changes our thinking. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of the Father. And this is his good and perfect will, that we would be strengthened and clustered together with people of similar passion. Okay? Because, you're going to have your private time, but it's a time when we need to come together and conduct business with our Father in corporate prayer. And remember what the church is, the definition of church. I don't have that definition in before me, but I know what I hear it in my spirit, tip of my tongue stuff, about him calling us out, that we may discuss the matters of the kingdom with the king. Okay, that's a paraphrase. Okay? And we have to be, that was corporate right there. And I thought the first part we did was intercession, but there's still some more about intercession. They all come together anyway. Anyway, so let me see what time it is. All right. Got a few more minutes. And then I'm going to stop and see what we can pray about and what did we get tonight. I mean, amen. Intercessory prayer cries out to God. That's a note right there. Write that down. Intercessory prayer cries out to God on behalf of others and influences the course of nations. You see how powerful your prayers is? Now, I know we heard that all through the religious system. The power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And then it comes to the point where that's the smallest group that comes together is prayer. That's because people don't know. If you don't have no knowledge of the kingdom, you don't really know how to pray according to his will. Because if you don't have no knowledge of the kingdom, you don't know the will of the Father. That's his original intent, the kingdom. Amen? And if you don't have no knowledge of it, then how can you pray according to his will? My. And so, your prayers are so powerful that when we do intercessory prayer and cry out to God on behalf of others and influence what? The course of nations. Ezekiel expressed God's desire for one who would stand in the gap. That's what you're doing. Stand in the gap between himself and Israel. That's what Ezekiel was doing. And so when we intercede for others and do an intercessory prayer, if we're standing in the gap for somebody, someone who would pray in a way that would cause God's judgment to be withheld. And we saw that with Abraham when his nephew Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was negotiating with God in prayer, interceding for not just his nephew, but others. He had a countdown all the way down to the last eight. And then he had to get his nephew out because there were none that was found. Okay? So finding no intercessors, the Lord destroys the land. Come on. So when he doesn't find any intercessors, the Lord will destroy the land. My. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. That I should not destroy it. I found no one. That's in Ezekiel. You can write that verse down. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. You see how important it is? This is our position as a royal priesthood, too. Now, and it's the will of God. So you don't want to be standing before God in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, talking about, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And he'd be, depart from me because I never knew you. You workers of iniquity because you did it your way and not God's way. Mm. So when God was angry with Israel because of her sin, Moses stood in the gap between Israel and God in prayer. God actually relented or changed his plan and did not destroy the nation. My. So Moses' intercessions resulted in God manifesting his mercy instead of judgment. My. You see how powerful our prayers is? That's in Exodus 32, 9 to 14. You can check that out. You'll see how our intercessions, a prayer for others, is how powerful our prayers is. It's not enough for us to only pray to express our personal devotion to God. It's not enough. You can write that down. It's not enough for us to only pray to express our personal devotion to God. God's going to see your motives for that, because that's selfish. So many who love their communion with God in prayer and do not have revelation of the authority the church has intercession. They got the communion with God in prayer. They love to have their communion with God in prayer, but do not have revelation. This is what I said earlier about the kingdom of God. You don't have no revelation of authority the church has in an election. See, when you learn about the kingdom of God, you learn the authority that the church has in an election. My. And not the church a building. We're talking about the people. So we are called to stand with authority in the gap for others. So some call themselves standing in authority, but if you are not doing what the king says in Matthew 6:33, and you are not seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and have no knowledge of his kingdom, you are not standing in authority because you are unauthorized. Come on. You're not standing in authority in the gap for others, whether for the church, for whole cities and nations, or for individuals who do not yet know the Lord. My. You don't know the Lord until you understand the kingdom. And you must be born again. Amen? Amen, Lord. All right, I'm opening these lines. And anybody have any... If you're on other devices, you can call in 760-283-0834 and take some time to pray. Anybody have any comments? Lines are open. Amen. I hear you.
Amen. Excuse me.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Awesome. Always awesome, my sister.
Amen, brother. I'm thankful for being here. Amen.
So awesome. You know, your missionary brother. All over the place.
Amen.
Powerful, my sister. You started a lot of trouble. I enjoyed it.
Amen.
I like what you were saying. I like what God was saying through you about if you don't, you can't pray effectively without, when you don't understand the kingdom, you can't pray effectively. You can't.
Right.
That's very true. You can't. You know, you can't, because most, and even with your post the other day about decreeing, I refreshed it because it's very, very true. Sometimes we just, you know, a lot of times in, you know, religion, people just fall into a religious, you know, prayer. And I think Bradley talks about, you know, all of that. But when you're praying from a kingdom perspective. You're decreeing. You know, uh-huh. You really are. You're making their declarations that you are bringing forth in the atmosphere and throughout the earth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Amen. Yes. And that's so true. And as I started learning about the kingdom and through prayer, the kingdom perspective of prayer and the purpose of prayer, that God, when we pray, it gives God access into there. I mean,
yeah.
To intervene in the affairs of mankind. I mean, that we weren't taught that in the religious system.
Mhm.
You know, so and
that's
it's
right.
Because people don't know it. They didn't know. That's why they couldn't teach us that.
Right. That's why it's like if God shows you something in the spirit, or if He shows you
uh-huh.
something that hasn't manifest yet. And it could very well be a diabolical attack or what have you. But God, it is God gaining access into the earth through us to superimpose,
right.
You know, what's here, pretty much.
Right. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so one of the things that I was going over tonight, that it was blowing me out of the water, is that how powerful is the prayers of the people of God. And people
yeah.
don't recognize Because, see, what religion has done, it has deadened some people, and they just already think that it does not work. And so, and this is how God communicates with us. This is how God, this is how we connect with Him.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people don't pray. They just sit there and don't do anything, really. They just, and then they wonder why there's the oppression in their life and why they're being tormented by demons. We learn tonight that He says there's people, He's waiting for us to cry out to Him.
The petition,
and if you're not crying out, if you're not crying out in prayer, then how is God? God says some things He's not even going to release to. We ask Him.
And we open up our mouth. Yes, absolutely. And it's prayer is spiritual too, because if you look in the book of Daniel in particular, the 13th chapter, Daniel was fasting. He was incorporating. He was praying from a spiritual place. Because there was warfare in the heavenly. Because he was personal, when I meditate upon that, there's perseverance in prayer. You know, there's time where you gotta persevere. Because he was praying, but it was like his prayers his prayers wasn't heard, but there was warfare in the heavenly realm where it said the Prince of Persia was trying to hinder those prayers. So that let me know, you know, we got to persevere in prayer. We really do.
That's right.
In prayer.
Yes, you do. Yes, yes. And I noticed that when you do persevere in spite of how you feeling, in spite of that flesh don't want to do it. You got to fight that flesh. You got to fight that flesh. And tell that flesh to go sit down and shut up, okay? Because I'm praying.
You sound like this. Amen. You got to starve it. Even when you're talking about that, you got to tell the flesh, shut up. We coming in agreement with the word of God today. You really do. You really do.
Yes.
You really do. Yes, you do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
And what I like here is that it says about the people that want to be individual, that don't want to come together.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people have different. I'm not excusing people, but I know people have different schedules that they on. Some people work during the time that we have the prayer, and you know, and stuff like that. And some people have to work early in the morning and all those stuff. But I'm just saying, those who already made up in their mind that they're going to do theirs individually and never come together with anybody, it says this, there is a sealing in the spirit until we come together and take a corporate, unified response over a period of time, not just one time, but over a period of time, to reach the highest level of God's intended blessing over a city or a nation.
Amen.
So, you know, so this is serious. This is supposed to be our lifestyle, not no one time thing. This is supposed to be our lifestyle. Amen.
Yeah, you're right about it. Amen. It is a lifestyle, all of it. It's all, you know, what the church world has done, they have, No, Jesus said men are to always pray and not faint, and that's why I believe a lot of times when you're asked to pray, it's God just gaining access. He wants to just come through you, but I believe a lot of people pull back. They don't do it is because a lot of times too, and I've been around a lot of people, they measure themselves about how, it's not about how somebody pray or all that. It's God in you. You're releasing Him, and you're making the declaration in prayer. But religion has done that, because I believe the church don't really. Miles Monroe, he wrote a book on prayer, and I remember watching a video some time ago, and he talked about prayer being one of the most misunderstood topics, if you will. You know, people don't understand the power of prayer, but if we understood the power and the manifestation of what happens with prayer, then people would probably be more inspired to pray. It's not like, oh, God, Jesus, you know, Father, just please. No, no, no. We supposed to be
right.
Saying, no, no, no. That is not the stance that God wants us to take. We ain't supposed to be bad. Oh, God, if you please. No, that, no, he said come boldly for the throne of grace. But God said if you decree a thing, it shall be established. So there's a confidence in the Holy Ghost. There's a boldness that comes from your inner man up out of your belly that he will bring forth what he desires to manifest in the earth. It's not just like some religious rhetoric. I mean, I've been to all night prayer and all of those kind of things, and you know, I mean, but if you're praying, like you said, and you do not, you're not praying from a kingdom perspective,
right?
And you know, you just, it's just rhetoric.
Yeah,
it's just words.
Yep.
Yeah.
You said it.
Wow.
Amen. And you just think about those all-night prayers you went to and all that praying you was doing. You know, now, God answered some of these prayers because he knew we didn't know.
Oh,
he was meeting us. He was meeting us where we were at. But now that we know the kingdom, we see with a, you know, better eyeballs, okay?
There's a, when you, I know, and the Holy Spirit taught me this, I know that the when you pray, and you know, you talk about praying through in the spirit realm, I know that it's supernatural, because there is supernatural manifestations that you can and you will have.
Right.
You know, there because it really is spiritual. You know,
yes,
when I didn't understand God. I didn't at that particular time because in religion, I mean, but I was experiencing prayer on a different dimension, and it kind of startled me. I was like, well, I can't share this with nobody because they're going to think I'm crazy because I'm around these religious people. And when I would go into my secret closet, not with the all-night prayer, not with the people, but in my own time with God, close my door, you know, and just literally, I mean, and it, sometimes it would seem like, or it would, it appear to be like a long time, but it wasn't. But there's realms of, like, in the spirit that you actually get to, and there is manifestation, literally. I'm talking, and there's manifestation because the location is spiritual. It's an atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it is. It's an atmosphere, and I had no idea. I had a prayer journal. You know, I would write things down, and whatever the Lord would give me, you know, to pray about and show that I would do it, and you said God does answer prayer. But
yes,
he does answer prayer, but I know that prayer is spiritual. I learned that very early on. It's a very powerful weapon.
Yes.
God releases here. In this, and the enemy, you know, is ignorance in the church. That's really what the enemy says. Oh, the devil, he has. No, no, no. If you're ignorant, the enemy takes a foothold in that area. Oh, look, he's like, look at her.
Right.
She's supposed to, she's supposed to be king. Look at her over there. Oh, God. Could you, you know, like, no, no, no. We are, that is not the stance that God would have us. So he laughs at really the religious people because he's like, look at him over there. Begging, they don't even know God. Like they don't even know who they are, you know.
Right.
God, please, or always, you know, ask God, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? But you don't want to conform. That's another thing. That's how you know people don't understand what the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful.
Right.
Prayer is spiritual. It's not some carnal activity you do whenever you so will. So they're like, oh, pray
right.
for me, and then they still want to continue to keep going back doing the same thing. Over and over again. That's a person who doesn't understand that prayer is powerful and it's spiritual.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Amen. Amen. Yes, it is. It's powerful. Mm. And people don't, and a lot of people, they say they are. Is somebody saying something? Well, that was you, Abel. A lot of people say they are spiritual, but you can tell that they're not, okay, by, you know, just by their, the way they talk and the way they, you know, carry themselves. So, and you can tell when the way people talk that they're not in the spirit realm or they haven't been there in the spirit realm. And so that's why I say when I was praying, without knowing the kingdom, God had answered some of my prayers. Some of the prayers I didn't even open my mouth. It was just, you know, God was meeting me where I was at, you know. And some things I just had in my mind that I needed, and God answered that before I even asked for it. So that's why I said, that's why the scripture says some things, some blessings that we will not see because we don't ask for them.
Yeah.
And those are. And you got to watch, when you ask for something, don't ask for it in a mist, you know, so that you consume it upon your own lust. And that's the kingdom mindset. See, when you have a kingdom mindset, you don't ask for those types of things. You have to have a kingdom mindset.
Come on now. Woo! My goodness.
And because see what he tells us. Right. He already said that we are, he said, he already know what we have need of. Take no thought. You already know what we have need of. So as, that's right. As royal priesthood, we ought to be in a, this position that we have been given is that we ought to be interceding on behalf of others.
Yeah.
God knows what we have need of. We're ambassadors. So ambassadors, all our needs are already taken care of. So we shouldn't be praying these types of things except for the things that he says to cast his cares upon him. Things that we're concerned about, we can take them to the Father and ask questions. But our main thing is to be interceding for others. That that the world will be one, not as so far as the worldly system, but people that's in the world that has not heard the kingdom, that has not entered the kingdom. We ought to be interceding on behalf of them people that have not entered yet. Because there are other folds to the sheepfold that has not entered yet.
Yes.
Those are the type of things that we ought to be praying for and interceding for.
Yeah. That's right.
Things. And like that article that was on Facebook about what they want to implement and plant into our children. Okay, we can't stop them from what they want to do, but we can show them up as God to give us a kingdom academy.
Amen. Amen. And that's right. And through, you know, God praying, you know, allowing God to have access in the earth through us. See, that's the part where religion don't get it, because it's almost like you're standing around to a degree on a defense somewhere, like, you know, no, that's not. Jesus said, go out to the hedge of the highway and compel men to come unto me. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to receive and going to want to, you know, to come in, but you're absolutely right. You know, kingdom, we need, the system here is failing, and God wants us to influence the culture that's already here with the culture of the kingdom, because that's when you stand out. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, religion you can't, but when your culture is different, when they may not fully understand it, but your light really does stand out. Your light really does shine, and they may not even like it, but it's nothing they can do about it. So I know that, you know, God doesn't want us to sit on the offense like, you know, just chilling or just sitting somewhere. Do nothing. It's really rather it's in the marketplace, because again, kingdom influence in the marketplace. And so many souls and all of that in the education system. You understand? You know, influencing that culture that is already infiltrated with the demonic culture, because they took pray. I remember I was saying with a coworker, we used to do our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, United States to the Republic of which you're saying, one nation under God. They completely, they taken all it out. Now look what they trying to replace it with. They that article mm-hmm. talks about anal cleansing, transgender. It grieves the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Mm-hmm. So I purposed in my heart, I said, well, Lord, I'm a PAL alumni. I said, so even if with everything that I'm writing and things that I'm doing, you know, even if it's 1 hour a day, God, I'll go and volunteer whatever area is an assignment for me to go back and be that light in the midst of wherever that, you know, wherever it's needed at, you know, and not just, you know what I'm saying, like on the defense or just not doing anything as relates to moving forward, because Jesus said, go out to the heads of the highway and compel men to come. We were never made to sit on somebody's pew forever doing nothing, singing songs, jump, dance, and shout, and that's it. And that's what caused me. I was like, I was fed up. I was like, this is not it. I said, I don't want anything to do with religious Christianity. So, and I said, you mean to tell me this is all I experienced the power of God in my own personal time? It had nothing to do with the people in the church. And I said, when I come here, I'm grieved. I was like, I'm done. I stopped going for a while. I was like, I'm tired because your light is like, it's more to it than this. So I'm like, where are the people, God, that I can connect with spiritually that understand that your life has purpose and meaning? And then that's when God started, you know, moving.
Amen. That's right.
Done.
Amen.
I was done. I was done. It grieved me. I was literally grieved. I mean, when I say grieve, I used to leave some certain be crying because I was just, I said, I was like, I can't do this anymore because it was empty. I just couldn't do it anymore. I just stopped. I never left God. However, I was just done with the system because I knew that, and it's very far from a few that understand, you know, who leaders that really understand who they are, and it's not just about, oh, my God, we're going to have a conference, and you keep doing the same thing. You see all the competition, jealousy, and all of this, you know, these things that are contrary to the cult of the kingdom. I was like, no, I'm not coming. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm sorry. Because when you're spiritual, this whole deal here, you see in the spirit, not from the flesh.
Right.
So there's jealousy, strife, envy, all of that. You, when you're spiritual, the Holy Ghost, you see those things. And I was like, I don't want any parts of that. I'm sorry. I don't have any more time to waste anymore. We're wasting enough time. Go ahead.
Amen, sister. It's all right. I'm just going to pray the decree over families, and then can you end out as I finish?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Okay. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this time of being with you, Lord, and as we learn more about our time, how powerful prayer is, and your invitation for us so that we will respond to you in this way through prayer and fasting and obedience, Lord God, of a lifestyle that way. I pray, Lord, that the people of God that will hear this in the archives, those who are alive, that we will grasp the power of prayer, the position that you have given us, and the posture of our authority and influence into the earth. So I pray that you would have your mighty way and your people, Lord God, and that they will have ears to hear and eyes to see your truth, Lord God, and that we have hearts that will apply the truth that we hear, and that we our understanding will come as we apply. And so I pray that you would have your way in each and every one that under the sound of the voice, whether archives or live, that you would have your way. I decree that our spiritual connection comes from the inside, Lord. Correct our eyesight and give us 20/20 vision spiritually, Lord. I decree that the tongue of the learned will shut the eyes of the demons that see me and see us in the name of Jesus. I use my tongue of the learned to decree radical spiritual rims of God to be released over our children and their children, families, the singles, the youth of our community, cities, and countries. In the name of Jesus, I decree every diabolical evil plan against our children be exposed, counteracted, dethroned, and dismantled. Dismantle it, Lord, and destroy it in Jesus' name. Lord, we cry out to you tonight on behalf of our children that we would have a facility, that we would be able to have kingdom academies where we would implant what you want in your children, Lord God, not the world system. And so I cry out unto you on behalf of the children of our community, Lord God, children that may not even know you yet, Lord God, that have not entered into your kingdom, that they will learn from their new birth about your kingdom, and that it would not have to be dealing with all this spiritual, religious system that they would have to get rid of. And so, Father, I pray by the Spirit of God that you would have your way up here. This is the generation that you are going to be using, Lord. And so, Lord, we call upon you on behalf of this generation and the generations that come, that your kingdom will last, is steadfast, is unmovable, and from generation to generation, Lord, and only way that this will happen is we preach and teach your kingdom, that the seed of your word will enter the ground, the good ground, Lord God. You said it would not come back to you void, but it will seek out to do as you pleased it to, and that it would germinate, and that, Lord God, that you will raise up your children to be mighty in spirit and hot and on fire for you, Lord, that your will be done in their lives, that they will be like the disciples that turn the world upside down, and so that you will be glorified in their life, Lord, that they will be strong, Lord God, and courageous, like you said. And so in the name of Jesus, we pray that for our children. So we come against it. We dismantle and destroy every evil plan against our children. We decree that their minds are free and clear, ready to function the way God intended it to, according to our Father's plan and will. And so, Father, have your way. We summon all angelic assistance to surround our families. Every demonic strategy, scheme, plot against our seed and family, I command blindness to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your way.
Amen. Amen. You want me to close this, Odelia?
Close.
Okay. Father, thank you on today, God. And Lord, even for those who would listen to the archive and come back, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, even 6 months from now, Father, we decree and declare, Lord, that your word, you said your word should never return void, but always accomplish with that and which you send it to do. And, Father, for those that have been seeking and trying to find truth, Lord, they've been seeking to try to make sense of their life purpose, and it's got to be more. Father, I thank you right now, God, that even as they would listen in to the broadcasters that is going forward, God, that seeds would be planted, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, you have called us as we are your sons and daughters in the earth, Lord. Father, you said if we decree a thing, it shall be established, God. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord. We decree and declare, God, that kingdom academies will be set up all across the United States, God, even across the world, God. Father, we decree and declare that those that have taken a reprieve from their assignment, God, that they would come back into divine alignment with you, God. Father, we decree and declare even those, God, who have removed themselves from prayer due to self, due to not lack of understanding, God. We decree and declare, and I speak into the atmosphere, Lord, that your spirit man will be strengthened, that they will come forward in you in power and in boldness, God, to superimpose every plan and plot that the enemy
Yes. Father, I decree and declare, and I speak to the weak and feeble spirit. I decree and declare that your spirit is not weak and feeble, but you are to be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. I decree and declare that you will not be able to run from this assignment. But you would say yes to the Lord, that he would have his divine way. So, Father, we thank you right now, God. We thank
you.
We thank you. We give you glory for the manifestation of the sons of God here in this earth, God. We thank you for the broadcast, God. Thank you for the rich word. Thank you for the teaching, God. And I decree and declare, God, that we would meditate upon your word day and night. That's what you command. You told us to meditate day and night. God called us to eat your word, that we will become that which we're eating, that we will become that which we're eating, that we will become that which we're eating, that we will come forth, that we will just speak your word and your word only, God. We will, I decree, we will speak your word and hearing manifest to the soul that's in bondage, that's in captivity. I decree, Father, that we will speak your word. We will speak truth, and your word will manifest in plain sight, Father. So, Lord, I thank you right now. Strengthen all those who are on the line presently, Lord. Strengthen them in their inner man, God. I decree that they are encouraged and inspired and on fire for you, God. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Prayer is the engine that advances the kingdom.
Now, I don't know if April want to change that for according to your whatever you're preaching. Did you just let me know, sister? Okay.
Okay, we'll do.
Amen, amen. So I want to say good night to everybody. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, April, and God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless. Good night. God bless.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue in Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
We are the